from Wisconsin, which is known for cheese and beer.
Yes, and a lot of other things.
And a lot of other things. But you were kind enough to actually bring beer. And while we're talking about this, I would much rather have a beer out. So can we bring it out?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. There we go. This is, do you want to tell? Yeah, we don't have to pour it in a glass, right?
Right.
Okay,
no.
Great. That's perfect. Oh. So this is a famous beer?
Yes, it is.
Okay. That's a lot better. That is a lot better.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. That was a clip from when Senator Tammy Baldwin was on the Seth Meyers Late Late Show. I think that was 2018.
I think you're right.
Yeah, something around that. And so the audacity that could you imagine being a Packers fan and not being able to get the Packers game and instead have to be subjected to a Lions game or a Vikings game.
Or a Vikings game. That's even
just
worse.
Just because of where you lived. Just because you lived in a county that was because of the media market, they're going to bump the Packers game for the inferior Vikings or Lions game. Could you imagine? Well, that is the reality for 13 different counties in Wisconsin for about 415,000 Packers fans. And Senator Tammy Baldwin, if she has anything to do with it, she's going to change it with the Go Pack Go bill, which you just reintroduced after first introducing it in 2019?
I first introduced it in 2017.
Oh, wow. So this has been a problem for a while.
Oh, my gosh. It's been a problem, and it's high time we do something about it.
This feels like something that how does this fall under the purview of the U.S. Senate?
Well, it's telecommunications and the Federal Communications Commission and other entities not only fall under the purview of the Congress for regulation, but also in the Commerce Committee on which I sit. So I will say that, trying to nudge this issue along is sort of really critical. And let me just say, it's a crisis, a political crisis, if you have Packer fans who can't watch their Packer games on television. But it is also, I will say, in those areas, they're not able to get local news content and other, sort of community events, et cetera. We've seen a very serious situation with local newsrooms, closing shop. And there's far fewer local news sources than there were even when I started serving Wisconsin in the Senate. So this is about Packer games, but it is also about being able to follow the news of your state and your local community. And what we want through this legislation is for everybody who is served by a cable or satellite company that's based in another state to have at least a local offering, a Wisconsin offering, so that they can watch their beloved Packers, but also so they can watch local news content and be informed about what's happening in their communities.
Well, and I experienced that 2 weekends ago over Labor Day weekend. I was in Chicago at a friend's house, and granted, that's not Wisconsin, but we started seeing ads for Indiana political ads. And he's like, I don't think because we were on the south side in Hyde Park, and he's like, I don't think you appreciate how close we are to Gary, Indiana right now. Like, it's about 15
yes.
minutes away. And because of the way the media markets work, you get political ads for races that you would never have the opportunity to vote for just because of the way things are sliced up. And you're so right as far as being in the situation already, especially across Wisconsin with whether you want to call it media deserts or a lack of local news that is so important to informing local politics, statewide politics, and not just getting the national stories all the time, being able to get news that affects you and your community instead of Minneapolis.
That's right. And so we have in total about 13 counties that are served by out-of-state news or out-of-state markets. So most of those people in Wisconsin are in the areas outside of the Twin Cities. So they get Minnesota-based programming. And then in the far north, we have a couple communities that are served by Duluth-based Minnesota media market. And then just one in the near the Upper Peninsula of Michigan that is served by a Michigan-based media market. And yeah, so they get mostly Vikings, but a little bit of Lions too, and which is ridiculous because most of the UP supports the Packers. They're so close, right?
I mean, they're literally attached to us, so yeah.
They should be ours,
right? It should be. I always have to restudy the fluke that created that appendage.
Senator, there's a bill we would all fight for. Yeah, let's take back the UP.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking to Senator Tammy Baldwin about the Go Pack Go Act. And so, what, as you said, you first introduced it in 2017. What has been the objection of why this hasn't moved forward?
Well, so I think part of it is that it affects just one part of the geography of the nation. And frankly, there have been bills introduced for resolving this issue in other media markets. And in some cases, the private actors have resolved the issue themselves. The satellite and the cable companies pay for the content that they provide. And so a negotiation between some Wisconsin broadcasters and the cable and satellite companies could lead to Wisconsin customers having those choices. But we could also certainly benefit from intervention from the Federal Communications Commission, which oversees these markets, to push them if they're not willing to do this voluntarily. So there's been a certain case, a number of instances in New England where, say, the Boston media market serves a lot of states surrounding Boston area. There's been some similar issues in Southern Colorado. And those issues have been resolved without needing to pass these bills. I'd love to see the same happen, but boy, I'm going to keep on pushing this bill if we don't see action.
Absolutely. And to switch gears a little bit, obviously this is very important for everyone who's a Packers fan. Another bill that you have been working on that is very important, I think, to not only people in Wisconsin, a lot of people in Wisconsin, but people across the country, is the Respect for Marriage Act. That obviously, yes. We get headlines on a lot as far as the progress there, but how is that going?
Well, I feel very strongly today that we have the number of votes required in the Senate to pass the Respect for Marriage Act. People may be aware that there's a strange procedure in the Senate whereby we need 60 votes, yeah, rather than a simple majority of senators to vote to approve substantive legislation. And the concern right now is that some of the folks who support the bill have been public about it. Others have been a little, they've privately expressed their support, but really Republicans right now are seeking a delay in consideration of the bill. I want it to come up next week, frankly, yes, because I think we are at this point where we have the necessary support on final passage, but we do need cooperation and we need those same individuals to vote to proceed to debate. Which is a procedural vote. And we're getting some threats now that just because of timing, they may not vote to advance the debate at this time. And so I've been getting a lot of questions about would I accept a delay, and I'm focused on getting this across the finish line and doing everything I can. So, let me just say that this was necessitated by the Supreme Court's action in overturning Roe versus Wade. And that decision really cast some real doubt about how the court would deal with some other longstanding and less longstanding precedent, like marriage equality and interracial marriage and contraceptive access and issues that involve privacy and health and family. And so because of that decision, there are a lot of folks who are legitimately worried about whether their marriages will remain valid. We need to address that.
Absolutely. I mean, this, I think so far as for anyone who is saying, well, this is settled law, and I know that some of the talking points that have come out, when you have one of the justices who basically said in his opinion that there are other cases that we should look at, and Obergefell being one of them, I don't think it is an outlandish conclusion that many voters and people in America thinking that, oh, that could be next. And so hats off as far as how hard you are pushing to try to codify that. And it is interesting to think within an election year, a very big election year, we have two huge races in Wisconsin, what the political decision behind even having a vote on this, and how much potentially people are dragging their feet. If, like you said, even if senators will vote for it, if they're trying to not have to vote for it before November.
If there is a political calculation, I think that my Republican colleagues need to understand that this now has the overwhelming support of the American people. The concept that you should be able to marry the person you love, and with that comes a bundle of rights and responsibilities that all should be able to access regardless of sexual orientation or race.
Absolutely. And quickly, with the couple minutes that we have left, there was also two new pieces of legislation that you introduced this week to combat the opioid epidemic, which is, I know as of this week, there was also for the settlement money in Wisconsin at the state legislature level, decisions on how that money is going to get spent. But what are at the federal level, what are two of the two pieces of legislation that you proposed?
Yeah, so the Naloxone Education and Access Act is really important to get this overdose reversal drug out and available. We can save lives. And right now, you can only access Naloxone or Narcan, as it's also known, through a prescription. So as long as that remains the case, we need to get people who prescribe narcotics for pain to also be prescribing naloxone should there be misuse of the opioid prescription. And we need to have it more available for those who might be poisoned by fentanyl that they ingest without meaning to. There's a lot of fake pills out there now. And a lot of these fentanyl poisonings are accidental overdoses, but lives could be saved if naloxone were more readily available. So that's what the Naloxone Education and Access Act would do. And then the other is reauthorizing something that we passed several years ago but will expire, and that's the State Opioid Response Grant. And that really allows states to flexibly attack the epidemic of addiction, of substance use disorder, in a way that makes sense in their own state. For example, in some states, methamphetamine is a bigger killer than narcotic opioids. And so we have to give the states the flexibility to respond. And that's what this opioid response grant allows.
Exactly. All right. Well, thanks. Thank you so much for joining us. I know you have another interview to get to, Senator Tammy Baldwin. Thank you for being here. Can't wait to have you back. We're going to take a break. As goes Wisconsin.